Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. You are listening to PGN Prophetic Grace Network. This is the live internet broadcast of Secrets Revealed. Understand the Book of Revelation from start to finish. Today is Thursday, August 8th of 2024. Tonight, we're talking about the truth about the coming harvest of the entire earth. The first resurrection and the Battle of Armageddon are recorded and reported in the earth-reaped prophecy in the Book of Revelation. What's the earth-reaped prophecy? Well, it is one of 12 documentaries, by my analysis, that John the Revelator was shown as he stood in heaven as reported in Revelation chapter 4. I want to start first. We're talking about the phrase, the Son of Man. So if we go to the scripture that's our focus in Revelation chapter 14, let's go there together. So I'm pulling up Revelation chapter 14. The earth-reaped prophecy begins with verse 6, and it ends at the end of the chapter. Verse 20, let's go to Revelation chapter 14, verse 14. 14:14, that's a number that's easy to remember. It says, "Then I saw a white cloud, and seated on the cloud was someone like the Son of Man." Who is the Son of Man? Repeatedly, the Son of Man is Jesus Christ in the Bible. For example, Daniel chapter 7:13 says, "As my vision continued that night, I saw someone like a Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven." And when we look in the book of Revelation, at Revelation chapter 1, verse 13, it says, "And standing in the middle of the lampstands was someone like the Son of Man. He was wearing a long robe with a gold sash across his chest." And then he goes on to describe more, and of course, this is John the Revelator's, this is part one of his supernatural experience with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ met him on the island of Patmos as he was there on account of his testimony for Jesus Christ. So he was exiled, and then he had part two of his supernatural experience with Jesus Christ when Jesus called him up to heaven as reported in Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. So let's go back to this expression here in Revelation chapter 14, the Son of Man. So this is talking about Jesus Christ, and we look to Revelation chapter 1, verse 13. We look to Daniel to see that expression there. Let me go a few other places to talk about that. Let's also take a look at John chapter 3, verse 13. "No one has ever gone to heaven and returned, but the Son of Man has come down from heaven." So who is the Son of Man who came down from heaven? Of course, it's Jesus Christ. And John chapter 3, verse 14 says, "And as Moses lifted up the bronze snake on a pole in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up." Talking about putting Jesus Christ on the cross. And John chapter 5, verse 27 says, "And he has given him authority to judge everyone because he is the Son of Man." And John chapter 6, verse 27 says, "Spend your energy seeking the eternal life that the Son of Man can give you. For God the Father has given me the seal of his approval." So, of course, this is talking about Jesus Christ. And finally, let me share one more verse just to make sure that we're all clear that the phrase Son of Man refers to Jesus Christ. John chapter 6, verse 53 says, "So Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you cannot have eternal life within you." So, of course, that is talking about him. So we take communion to eat his flesh and drink his blood. That is Jesus Christ speaking himself. So what is the point for our discussion today? In the Earth Reap documentary, when it says, "Then I saw a white cloud, and seated on the cloud was someone like the Son of Man." This is the same expression, Son of Man, and even the expression someone like the Son of Man that Daniel used, John the Revelator used it, and it's to communicate Jesus Christ. So Son of Man refers repeatedly in the book of Revelation and elsewhere in the Bible to Jesus Christ. So what do we have here? John the Revelator sees Jesus Christ where? Seated on a white cloud. So first he sees the white cloud, and then he says, oh, and seated on this cloud, the white cloud, is someone like the Son of Man. So he sees Jesus Christ sitting on a cloud. And remember, Revelation chapter 1 says he comes with the clouds of heaven. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 says he comes with the clouds. And so let us hear in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, let us hear in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 the description of the second coming of Jesus Christ, because we have a larger description here and a very brief but important description in the book of Revelation. So here's the larger description of the second coming of Jesus Christ, specifically talking about when he returns from heaven for the marriage of the Lamb. What's the marriage of the Lamb? That's when Jesus Christ, as God manifest in the flesh, gets his forever family. So he gets all of his family members, every person in Christ in heaven, every person in Christ on the earth. We all transition to having the same type of body that he has so that we can be physically with him, and we are physically with him forever and ever from that point forward. So once Jesus Christ returns and the marriage of the Lamb happens, that's the first resurrection, then if Jesus is in heaven, we're in heaven. If Jesus is at the Battle of Armageddon, we're at the Battle of Armageddon. If Jesus is on the earth, we're on the earth. So here's the largest description of the marriage of the Lamb, of the first resurrection in the Bible. First Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 says, I'm going to read verses 13 to 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it says, "And now, dear brothers and sisters, we want you to know what will happen to the believers who have died, so you will not grieve like people who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and was raised to life again, we also believe that when Jesus returns, God will bring back with him the believers who have died. We tell you this directly from the Lord. We who are still living when the Lord returns will not meet him ahead of those who have died. For the Lord himself, so here it is, for the Lord himself, that's talking about Jesus Christ, will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. First, the believers who have died will rise from their graves. Then, together with them, we who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Then we will be with the Lord forever. So encourage each other with these words. So this is a description of the first resurrection. This is a description of the harvest of the earth, of the earth yielding its crop. So what is the earth supposed to give? What is it supposed to yield? It's supposed to yield a forever family for God. It's supposed to give a crop of believers. It's supposed to provide the bride of Christ. So, of course, there's the good crop, and then there's the clusters of grapes that the Bible refers to. So let's think about Matthew says there's the wheat. So you want to harvest wheat because we can use wheat to make bread. We can use wheat to make other things. But then there are weeds. We're not going to make any bread out of weeds, right? So we want the wheat, but we're going to gather up the weeds and we're going to burn them because the weeds aren't useful. Well, it's just like the earth. Jesus Christ is going to gather up the wheat. That's all who are in Christ, and we are going to be kept. But the weeds, those who are not in Christ, they're going to be gathered up, and they're going to be thrown into the lake of fire. They're going to be burned up because they're not useful. Now, I'm saying they're not useful, but that is not entirely correct. Because they are not in Christ, because they are full of sin, they are disallowed entry onto the new earth. Okay, now our point is to focus on the Earth Reap documentary and the reality that the harvest, the marriage of the Lamb, is documented in this documentary. So let's go back to Revelation 14. Revelation 14:14 says, "Then I saw a white cloud, and seated on the cloud was someone like the Son of Man. He had a gold crown on his head and a sharp sickle in his hand. Then another angel came from the temple and shouted to the one sitting on the cloud." So there's an angel in the temple in heaven. And so this angel leaves the temple in heaven, and then he shouts to Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, who's sitting on a cloud, and this is what he says to Jesus: "Swing the sickle, for the time of harvest has come. The crop on earth is ripe." Now, remember, in the Bible it says that no man knows the hour, not even Jesus Christ, not even the Son of Man knows the hour of his second coming. Only the Father knows. So what does this mean? Why does the angel need to announce? Why does the angel need to announce to Jesus Christ, "Swing the sickle, for the time of harvest has come"? Because he doesn't know. He hasn't been told. Only God the Father knows. So apparently this information goes from God the Father to the angel, who then makes the announcement, and he says to Jesus, "The time of harvest has come. The crop on earth is ripe." In other words, it's time for got to get his forever family. It's time for you to return to the earth as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, Jesus. It's time for the first resurrection. It's time for you to return to the earth so that you can get your forever family. So everybody in heaven who's a disembodied spirit, so they have a heavenly body, but they don't have a physical, tangible body that can consume food and water and that can live on this present earth. It's time for them to get their new peak performance glorified immortal body. It's time for the believers on the earth. It's time for us to get our glorified, perfected, peak performance, immortal bodies. So this is the announcement that the second coming of Jesus Christ, that is upon us, that timing is upon us. And let us go to Revelation chapter 1. Let us go to Revelation chapter 1, and the first resurrection is described in many places in the Bible. Let's go to see what it says in Revelation chapter 1, verse 7. It says, "Look, he comes with the clouds of heaven, and everyone will see him." Did you hear that? Look, he comes with the clouds of heaven. So we see in many places bits and pieces, but all accurate descriptions, but none of the descriptions has everything in it, but pieces of information about the second coming. So one piece of information is that he comes with the clouds of heaven. Have you ever driven on a cross-country trip or been outside and you notice that there are lots of clouds? Some people like to see shapes in clouds or notice that the clouds are very beautiful, or they're low or they're heavy. Sometimes clouds are particularly interesting to look at when there are blue skies. But in any case, on this particular day, there are clouds in the sky. So when we look up and we see the second coming of Jesus Christ, it's not going to be a day with no clouds. No, in fact, he comes with the clouds of heaven. And so now let us go back to our key scripture for today, the earth reap prophecy, Revelation chapter 14, verses 6 to 20. So it says, the angel says to him, "Swing the sickle, for the time of harvest has come. The crop on earth is ripe." So in other words, it's time to get all the people on the earth. The great tribulation has ended. Day 1260 has come, and has come and gone, and now the great tribulation is over. It's time to transition all of the believers who have endured the great tribulation from mortality to immortality. And, of course, all the believers who are in heaven, all who have fallen asleep. They've already died. Maybe they were persecuted during the great tribulation on day one or day 50. Maybe they died in Christ 100 years ago or 2,000 years ago. Whenever, all of the people in heaven will also participate in the first resurrection. So verse 16 of chapter 14 says, "So the one sitting on the cloud." Now again, it's very important that we discern that the secret is unlocked to you and me, that we understand who is operating here. When it says, "So the one sitting on the cloud swung his sickle over the earth," that's talking about Jesus Christ. It says, "And the whole earth was harvested." Now, you have to understand how big that is. The first resurrection is huge. That's what we're all looking forward to, being in our glorified bodies. Never, ever having physical torment, mental torment, never being afraid of death, never being concerned with the curse, because our bodies are free of the curse. We're in an immortal body. We're experiencing eternal life because we're in our eternal body. Hallelujah. God designed you, and he designed me to be three in one, body, spirit, and soul. Yet there are those who are in Christ in heaven, but they're only spirit and soul. They are short part of what God has intended and promised them. They are short their glorified body. When will they get it? They'll get it at the time of the harvest. Hallelujah. So in Matthew, Jesus gives us so many parables to describe this. He describes the wheat, the harvesting of the wheat and the tares. He describes the sheep and the goats. He describes the good fish who are kept and the bad fish who are thrown out. So at the time of the first resurrection, all the good fish are kept. We're all resurrected. And the bad fish are thrown out when? At the great white throne judgment. They're thrown right into Gehenna, the lake of fire. At the time of the harvest, the wheat is harvested. That's the crop. But the weeds or the tares are gathered up. Where are they gathered up? In Hades. And then what happens after the great white throne judgment? They are burned up. They are thrown into Gehenna where they experience eternal torment, fire, and sulfur and brimstone in the lake of fire. Again, the reality is that what's talked about as the whole earth being harvested in Revelation chapter 14 in the earth prophecy, this is the report of the first resurrection, the marriage of the Lamb. Now, from my perspective, and you and I might differ on this, I could see where people have different perspectives on this. To me, this is the most significant event in Revelation chapter 14, the first resurrection. We will also refer to it as the marriage of the Lamb. It's also referred to as the rapture. Now, there's some other events described in this documentary as well. Let's continue. Verse 17 says, after that, so this is after the first resurrection, another angel came from the temple in heaven, and he also had a sharp sickle. Now, remember, some people are left behind. So thinking about people on the earth, some people are left behind. Now, what happens to some of those who are left behind? Let's hear about it. Continuing, verse 18 says, then another angel who had power to destroy with fire came from the altar. He shouted to the angel with the sharp sickle, swing your sickle now to gather the clusters of grapes from the vines of the earth, for they are ripe for judgment. So the angel swung his sickle over the earth and loaded the grapes into the great wine press of God's wrath. So wine press of God's wrath refers to the battle of Armageddon. So this expression is used repeatedly in the book of Revelation. Always the wine press refers to the battle of Armageddon. The documentary that focuses primarily on the battle of Armageddon in the book of Revelation is the Marriage Supper of the Lamb documentary, Revelation 19, verses 6 to 21. But it's also mentioned here. It's mentioned here. So we have already risen up to meet Jesus Christ in the clouds, talking about everyone whose name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But there are those who are left behind on this earth. So we rose to meet Jesus Christ in the clouds in our glorified bodies. Then we find out in Revelation 15, we keep rising up with Jesus Christ, and we go to heaven for some period of time. But back here on this earth, what is happening? So the angel swung his sickle over the earth and loaded the grapes into the great winepress of God's wrath. Now, other things happen, but this is fast-forwarding in time. This is telling us the story of what happened to the people who were in Christ at the time of the second coming in Jesus, and then what happens to the people who were not in Christ, who were Team Satan and in the armies of the Antichrist. Then it says, the grapes were trampled in the winepress outside the city. Now, again, who are the grapes? The grapes are all of the people in the armies led by the Antichrist in Jerusalem. So it says the grapes were trampled in the winepress outside the city, and blood flowed from the winepress in a stream about 180 miles long and as high as a horse's bridle. Now, you might say, why is there the juxtaposition in this documentary of the first resurrection, the marriage of the Lamb, which is happy, and the death of millions of people at the Battle of Armageddon, which is sad? So this is to communicate the harvest of the wheat and the tares with respect to people who are on the earth at the time of the second coming of Jesus Christ. Now, there are those who are Team Satan on the earth who are at the Battle of Armageddon and those who are not. So this doesn't tell us about what happens to the people who are Team Satan, who have taken the mark of the beast. They have worshipped the statue of the beast commissioned by the false prophet. They have taken the mark of the beast. So they are Team Satan, but they're not at the Battle of Armageddon. It doesn't tell us about them, but it does tell us that all of the people, it tells us that the people who are at the Battle of Armageddon, who are Team Satan, their blood is going to flow due to the wrath of God, which is released at the Battle of Armageddon, and that blood's going to flow for 180 miles, and it's going to be as high as a horse's bridle. One Bible commentary suggested that a horse's bridle is about 5 feet high. Now, again, this description of the Battle of Armageddon, verses 19 to 20 of chapter 14, is very brief, but it's sufficient to know what is being reported. And, of course, the very long description of the Battle of Armageddon is in the Marriage Supper documentary, Revelation chapter 19, verses 6 to 21. Okay, so some people say, well, where in the book of Revelation is the first resurrection? And it is here, Revelation chapter 14, verses 14 to 16, verses 14, 15, and 16. I want to read those again so we are clear. So somebody says to you, or you're thinking one day as you're doing your Bible listening or your Bible reading, I want to hear about the first resurrection and when Jesus comes back. Where can I see that in the book of Revelation? So you can see that in the book of Revelation in two places. Revelation chapter 1, verse 7, it says, look, he comes with the clouds of heaven, and everyone will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the nations of the world will mourn for him. Yes, amen. Verse 8 says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord God. I am the one who is, who always was, and who is still to come, the Almighty One. And then, talking about how do we know that Jesus Christ is the Son of Man, described in Revelation chapter 14, that it's actually talking about Jesus Christ who's sitting on a cloud. Well, Revelation chapter 1, verse 12 says, when I turned to see who was speaking to me, I saw seven gold lampstands, and standing in the middle of the lampstands was someone like the Son of Man. He was wearing a long robe with a gold sash across his chest. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like flames of fire. His feet were like polished bronze, refined in a furnace, and his voice thundered like mighty ocean waves. He held seven stars in his right hand, and a sharp two-edged sword came from his mouth, and his feet was like the sun in all its brilliance. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as if I were dead. But he laid his right hand on me and said, "Don't be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I died. But look, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and the grave." So, of course, John said that the person he saw was someone like the Son of Man. And then when this person, this someone like the Son of Man, describes who he is, who does he say he is? He says, "I am the living one. I died, but look, I am alive forevermore." So, of course, this is Jesus Christ himself speaking to John the Revelator. He visited supernaturally. John the Revelator, as John the Revelator was on the island of Patmos, he said, "I am the living one. I died, but look, I am alive forever and ever." He rose from the grave in a glorified, perfected, peak performance, immortal body, just like the one that he has promised every person whose name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, every person who is a sheep and not a goat, every person who's among the good fish, not the bad fish, every person who's among the wheat and not the tares. He says, "I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and the grave." Hallelujah. You don't have to fear death anymore if you're a believer. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord for every person who dies in Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, what does it all mean? This someone like the Son of Man is definitely, assuredly, without a doubt, Jesus Christ. And we see it in Revelation chapter 1. So when we go to Revelation chapter 14 and we hear John the Revelator again saying, "Then I saw a white cloud, and seated on the cloud was someone like the Son of Man." We're not confused about who it is. We know who it is, because we've read Revelation chapter 1. We understand it. We've read John. We've read Daniel. We understand that he is talking about Jesus Christ. And when the angel says to Jesus Christ, "Swing the sickle, for the time of harvest has come. The crop on earth is ripe," we understand that he's talking about the harvest of the wheat and the tares, the harvest of his forever family. It's time for the groom, Jesus Christ, to get his bride, the church. Now, how does he get his bride? He gets his bride in the flesh, in this thing called the first resurrection. The first resurrection is the marriage. It's when you put on, as a believer, your forever earth suit, your new body that's going to allow you to stand in the presence of Jesus Christ and be wherever Jesus is, whether it's in heaven on earth or on this present earth or on the new earth to come. And wherever Jesus is, you can and will be forever and ever. As noted in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, so shall we ever be with the Lord. So right now, even though you are in Christ, you're not with Christ. Even though I am in Christ, I'm not with Christ. Why? Jesus Christ is in heaven. Now, I have relatives who are with Christ in heaven, but you and I are here on this present earth, and they are with Christ, but they're not in their forever glorified bodies yet, so they are missing something too. He is with them, but he's not with them in the way that he wants to be. He wants a forever family. He wants everyone to be three-in-one body, spirit, and soul. Now, when Satan persuaded Adam and Eve to sin and everything came under the curse, including in Adam and Eve, do you think God said, man, I wanted Adam and Eve and all their descendants to be with me and be my children and be on this earth forever and ever, but Satan screwed it all up. Guess I'm screwed. Oh, well. My plan didn't work. I'm done. No, he didn't say that. He didn't say that. Who is the winner? Is Satan the winner or is God the winner? Is Satan smarter or is God smarter? Who is more powerful? Of course, it's God. So when man fell and Adam and Eve came under the curse, and therefore all of their descendants, including you and me, and the earth came under the curse, that's not the end of the story. That's why we go to the Bible, so we can hear the end of the story. The end of the story is that we get free of the curse and we transition to being in the image of God again, and we transition from mortality to immortality. So Adam was immortal. Then after he and Eve sinned, both he and Eve transition from immortality to mortality, and therefore they die. But now, because of the second Adam, Jesus Christ, we're going to transition from mortality to immortality. And after all of God's five enemies are destroyed by Jesus Christ, this earth and this heaven, the present heaven and present earth, they are stored up for fire. They are going to be destroyed by holy fire, and we are going to transition to a new heaven and a new earth. Revelation chapter 21 and verses 1 to 5 of 22, the New Earth documentary. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the end of the story is that everything will be made new again, starting with you and with me. Now, think about your age, and I'm wondering, at what age was or will be your peak performance? Now, if I think about this, I think I probably reached my physical peak maybe at the age of 31, somewhere around there. I can't be sure. I've heard others say 24, 25, or 27. I don't know what it is for you personally, but I'd like you to think about that, because that is the starting place to think about what it's going to be like and feel like in your new body. So the body that you're in right now, the body that I'm in right now, it has DNA errors in it. Even the secular people who know nothing about God, those in the secular world, even they understand that the sins of the fathers and mothers are visited upon the sons and daughters for many generations. That's why they have asked you and me so many questions. This is why they have so many questions about, well, what happened with your mother, your father, your grandmother? Does this run in your family? Does that run in your family? Because they understand that the sins of our forefathers and foremothers, that they are impactful on us physiologically. They are impactful. But hallelujah, all of the DNA errors will be gone. So it will not matter what you or I have done or not done, the forefathers, the foremothers, you know, people we've never even met before, still impacting us today. But in our future, in eternity, beyond all time, when we're in eternity future, none of that will matter. But even when chronological time still exists, when Jesus returns, we have a 1,000-year millennial reign. Time will still exist at that time. We won't be in eternity future yet. We'll still be at the end of the age. We're going to be in our peak performance bodies, hallelujah, just like the body that Adam and Eve that they were in before they sinned. I think it's going to be even better than that, because I never read about Adam and Eve ascending, flying in their bodies, but Jesus Christ, he is able to fly. He's able to ascend in his glorified body. That means you and I will be able to rise up, as it describes in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, in our glorified bodies. Hallelujah. So today, our focus has been looking at the reality of the resurrection in the earth rate prophecy in Revelation chapter 14. I hope that this has been a useful and informative discussion for you. Do you have a question or comment about the book of Revelation? I'd like to transition to hearing your call or hearing your comment. Maybe you have a prayer request. The phone number is 1-319-527-6027. If you're listening by internet but you want to call in with your prayer request, the phone number to call in right now is 1-319-527-6027. When you call, you can call simply to listen, although many people listen via the internet, but you can call simply to listen. When you call, if you want to come on live during the internet broadcast, press 1. That will raise your hand in the virtual queue to let me know that you have a comment or a question, maybe a prayer request, or maybe all three. 1-319-527-6027 is the phone number. I am ready to take your call. Always excited to hear from truth seekers. The Bible says, Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. If you are a truth seeker, the truth is that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and the Son of Man. Jesus Christ is the truth. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Hallelujah. I see 828-442 with your hand raised. I'm going to come to you, 828-442. Hello, 828-442. Who am I talking to and where are you calling from?
This is Jennifer from North Carolina.
Hey, Jennifer, I want to pray for you. I'm going to put you on mute, and I'm going to come back so we can chat. Thank you, Jennifer.
Thank you.
You're welcome, North Carolina. Thank you, Lord, for Jennifer from North Carolina. Hallelujah. I come to you, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, praying that you will have an answer for Jennifer's prayers today. Hallelujah. An answer for Jennifer's prayers today. Hallelujah. Jennifer, I see a red farmhouse or barn. Hallelujah. And I hear the name Connolly. Something, I think it's Connolly. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jennifer, I can just share what the Lord is sharing with me. Hallelujah. Jennifer, I hear the Lord saying, Nicole, you're talking to a runaway. Hallelujah. You're talking to a runaway. Hallelujah. The Lord says to you, Jennifer, when you ran away from them, you ran into his arms, that he is a place of safety and security. He is your safe place of refuge. The Lord is your refuge, Jennifer. Hallelujah. The Lord is your refuge. The Lord is your husband and your protector. Hallelujah. The Lord says he is your husband and your protector. He is your father. He is your husband. He is your protector and your provider. Hallelujah. The Lord says, those who are looking for you will not find you. Jennifer, I see people trying to find you and, like, looking for you, but the Lord confusing them. Like, he doesn't want them to find you. Hallelujah. I see you hiding. hiding behind something, like in a barn or a shed or something, like hiding. Hallelujah. I hear the Lord saying, He will keep you safe and secure. Hallelujah. Jennifer, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, what is it that you would have me to share with her? What else, Lord, would you have me to share with her? Jennifer, the Lord says He will keep you. He will keep you, and you're not going crazy. You are hearing His voice. Hallelujah. You are hearing His voice. You are not going crazy. You are hearing His voice. Hallelujah. Jennifer, I'm going to unmute so we can hear from you. Jennifer, may we hear from you?
Oh, wow. That is so powerful. Like, you have no idea. That word has lifted me and encouraged me and has answered so many questions I've been asking of Him. Like, I don't know if there's any been a more powerful word that I've ever been given. Wow. Like, He literally has answered a handful of my questions for you.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh. He is a God who answers prayer. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, God. He keeps showing me a red barn, and I had no idea what it meant. But I know I'm hearing from Him, and I've often asked Him, am I going crazy? Like, am I really hearing from you? There's so many things He's been showing me, and the things He's been showing me and teaching me goes against so much of what other people are teaching. And my question has been to Him, am I going crazy or am I really hearing from you? So there's just so much and answered. I am in a situation now that has just broken my heart. And I feel like he has definitely answered my questions about that as well tonight. So, oh my goodness, thank you, God.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. And Jennifer, do you know tonight we're having communion night at 10 p.m. Eastern time, 9 p.m. Texas time. Do you ever participate in communion night with PGN?
I didn't know. I do take communion, but I had no idea PGN does communion night.
We're going to have communion night. Pastor and Prophet Randy will lead us in communion tonight. That's just a short time. I believe that if you can participate in it, that would be a wonderful blessing for you. I'm so excited to hear from you. I'm so glad that you called. It's an honor to pray for you. You know, Jennifer, I don't believe you and I have ever talked before, yet God had answers to your prayer. Why? Because you're His daughter. You're His daughter. He is watching you. He is protecting you. He is guiding you. Hallelujah.
Well, I never call in on Thursdays, and I was just sitting here. Actually, I was bawling my eyes out and journaling, and he told me to pick up the phone and try to call PGN. I didn't know anyone was on, and I literally just called and you answered. So I know I'm hearing Him, and I know He wanted me to be encouraged.
I'm so glad you called. It's so interesting. Your timing was right on. We had just ended the talk.
Really?
Literally less than 3 minutes earlier. If you play back the tape, it had just ended.
Wow.
And I just said, well, it's our time for questions and comments about the Book of Revelation and prayer requests. And I said, I'm going to wait a minute.
Oh, my goodness.
If anyone has.
Wow.
Thank you, Lord.
No, I mean, it has been a huge struggle today. Like, and I was just, things were getting darker and darker and darker and darker for me. And, wow, he's just brought so much light into my heart and life right now through you. I'm just floored right now.
Thank you, Lord. God is so good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Jennifer, I love hearing your tears of joy. Tears of joy, relief, knowing that your pain matters to God, that your problems are being solved by God, that you are here. Wait, now, this red barn, you said he'd been showing it to you. That's the first thing he showed me. It's no way possible. It's no way possible that I would just randomly see what you just happened to randomly see.
Oh, yes. He's been showing me. He just keeps pointing out red barns for the last, I want to say, 3 to 4 years. And I'm like, Father, what? I don't understand. I started to just question, like, is it just me? So I really am encouraged. I'm so encouraged tonight.
God, hallelujah. And, you know, we're going to have more time of prayer tonight. Again, Pastor and Prophet Randy will be praying for folks tonight. So I hope if you would like more ministry and prayer that you will join if you care to, if you have time. I'm so thrilled that you called. I love talking to God's people. You are God's daughter. It's an honor to talk with you tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, that you are moving mightily. Now, we're going to be on again on Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern time, 6 p.m. Eastern time, and again next Thursday. But, you know, PGN has lots of prayer ministers, different things going on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I encourage everyone to stay connected, to be with us as often as you can. Is there anything else you'd like to talk about or pray about?
I just feel so lifted. Like, I didn't know what to ask for prayer tonight. I just knew I was in a really, really dark, dark place and just had so many questions for Abba Father. And I feel seen and I feel loved and I feel heard. And I know that every tear I just cried, he's collected and put in his bottle. And I just give him the glory. And you said this is Nicole?
Yes, this is Nicole. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Yeah, this is the first time I've spoken with you. So, thank you. It's very impactful. Very impactful. And I feel like I can go to sleep in peace now, have peace in my heart.
Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you, Jennifer. We are here every Thursday and Sunday on this particular program. I'm so glad you called. Please call again.
Yes, thank you. He's an on-time God.
Amen.
Yes.
That's
Amen.
Right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jennifer.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Praise God for Jennifer from North Carolina. You know, God is a God who hears our prayers. Hallelujah. So, again, we are in our time when it's time to hear from you. Maybe you have a prayer request or you have a comment about the Book of Revelation. or you have a question. I see 832-633. 832, your hand was raised, but you've unraised your hand. So I will only unmute you if your hand is raised. So 832, if you want to come on live on the air, feel free to press 1 to let me know. Sometimes people are here and they're listening by phone, but they don't want to talk live on the air, and that's fine. Maybe you're listening. So I just want to make sure I don't miss anyone. 832-633, if you would like to share your comment about the Book of Revelation or your question. Okay, I see your hand raised, so I'm going to unmute you. 832-633, who am I talking to and where are you calling from?
Yes, God bless you. My name is Lottie. I'm calling from Houston, Texas.
Thank you, Houston, Texas. And what did you say your name is?
Lottie.
Lottie?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, thank you, Lottie. I'm going to put you on mute, and then I'm going to, so I can pray with you and for you, and then I'm going to come back so that we can talk.
Okay, thank you so much.
Okay, thank you, Lottie from Houston. Lottie from Houston, Texas. Lottie, as you were talking before I started praying, I just saw my hands moving like working with hair, like just my hands working in hair. I think like braiding or twisting and in hair. Hallelujah, Lord, thank you for your wonderful daughter, Lottie, from Texas. I come to you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, asking, Lord, what do you have to say to Lottie? Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Lottie, I hear the Lord saying she's like the woman in the Bible with the issue of blood. Mm-hmm. Lottie, I'm just going to share what I hear the Lord saying. Some female problems that need to be addressed, and it sometimes have made your life difficult, some embarrassing moments. Nothing to be ashamed of, but some embarrassing moments, female problems. Okay, I hear the word cakes. I don't know if you like to bake cakes. I hear the word cakes. Okay, and I hear the Lord saying people like to think of you. When people are with you, they have a fun time. When people are with you, they have a fun time, but I'm not sure it's a fun time for you. Seems like they're draining you emotionally, something like that. Seems like something like that. Hallelujah, Lord, help me to understand what where we're going. Thank you, Lottie. I'm just waiting on the Lord. Help me, Lord. What else would you have me say? I hear the Lord saying, ask her about food and the restaurant. Ask her about food and the restaurant. Well, Lottie, I'm going to unmute so I can hear from you. I'm going to ask you, Lottie, what about food and the restaurant? Do you work at a restaurant, or do you want to have a restaurant? Can you tell us about that?
Well, lately I've been kind of cooking here and there. Every once in a while I think about a restaurant, but it's not something that I just really, really because financially, you know. But my mom likes to cook, and she's good at cooking, so she's still kind of teaching me some things. And I do like looking at recipes and stuff, but I don't know. Here and there, I think every once in a while I do think about like a little type of restaurant sometimes.
Now,
you know, sometimes. Yeah.
Yes. Now, I hear the Lord saying, you're very good at money. You're very good at money.
Wow. Okay.
So are you good at record keeping? Are you good at record keeping? I hear the Lord saying you're good at money.
Good with money? Well, I do need to manage more if I had the opportunity to really, you know, dive into that. I think maybe by the grace of God I could be, you know. Yeah.
The other thing I hear the Lord saying is that you're good at making money and you're good with people. Like, you know how to talk to people. So you know how some people say, you know how some people, they might be like very talented, but they're not good with talking to people or getting like the deal done, or you know, the little things that make people feel comfortable, but you're very good at that. So what I see is you being able to run a business that's food related, but you don't have to be like the star of it in the sense that you're like the chef or you even come up with the recipes. But, like, you're the person in charge of everything. So, in other words, you're like the manager of it. You're like the head of it.
Okay. So, wonderful. Yes. That's a blessing. It really is.
So think about it this way. So you might not have thought about it this way before. It doesn't matter if somebody's, like, the best chef ever. If that person figure out what ingredients do we need to have everything ready to sell, you know, on the food truck on Friday, or how much do we need to charge these people to cater their wedding or their baby shower or something like that? So you're the person who owns it. I hear the Lord calling you a business owner, a small business owner. I believe in the city you live in, I believe in where you live. Now, you told me you live in Houston, but I see you living outside of Houston.
Thank God. Hallelujah.
But where you live, I believe where you live, they have programs to help small and new business owners.
Okay.
But I hear the Lord identifying you right now, today. She's a business owner. She's a business.
Glory to God. Yeah. And that's amazing, because I did start making things, and I had went ahead and got like a EIN. But it's just been, you know, what you go through, and that's what I've been watching on on Daystar. This man, he speaks about business and opening, getting it started. So I have been doing that, but I just, you know how it's just like you let things. He was saying, don't just let the fact about money hold you back. You know, so I've been trying to, you know, go through the steps of that. Yes.
Well, I would encourage you to think about what are different. I would encourage you to think about what are different events that you could provide food at. Like, for example, sometimes they have like fairs or festivals. Or people will have some kind of gathering, like a wedding. Even somebody might have a wedding for 50 people. And I would say you don't need to cook the food, but you need to find a way to get the money up to pay somebody to cook the food and oversee it.
Okay.
Do you hear me?
Yes, that's so crazy. I had just asked my mom the other week about us trying to see if we can do, like, that cater or something. That's so, oh, my God, that's really God. Yeah.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Because I hear the Lord saying, I know I already said it, but I want to make sure you hear that you are very good with money and making money. I hear the Lord, this woman is a money maker. This woman's a money maker. See, once you get a piece of paper and you start thinking about it, and it's going to all be in your head. You don't even have to write it down. It's going to be in your head how everything needs to work in order for you to make money.
Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. I receive that in Jesus' name. I really do, and what you were saying concerning my female, I have been under a horrible attack with individuals doing a lot of horrible things to my reproductive, and it is embarrassing, but you just wouldn't believe the things that they're doing day and night to my, to that area is just horrible, like the worst extreme demonic thing you could imagine, just so that I wouldn't be able to, have norm, so it's just been real devastating, and that it was amazing that, that came, because that's exactly, one of the reasons I was asking, for prayer, because it's just been horrible.
Wow. Wow. I'm sorry to hear that. Let me pray. Would you be open to praying a deliverance prayer for that?
Oh, yes. Yes, because it's been very targeted. So, yes, yes, most definitely.
Okay, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, Lord, you reveal secrets because you intend to heal what has been revealed. So thank you, Lord, that you reveal the secret pains that Lottie has endured with respect to her female organs. Thank you, Lord, that deliverance is possible because of the precious blood of Jesus. So, Lord, we just take authority. We take authority as believers in Jesus Christ over every foul, tormenting, demonic spirit that has attacked her in her sleep, that has attacked her in the day, Lord. Hallelujah. Mm. We command every foul, tormenting, demonic spirit to leave the body of Lottie in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Come back, Lord. We repent on behalf of every ancestor that Lottie has had, Lord. We just come and we repent, and we repent for every person in her ancestral line, Lord, who has had demonic covenants, Lord. We break all demonic covenants in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Masonic, Santeria, Eastern Star Lord, Greek organizations, Lord, every voodoo Lord, every covenant that has been made in her ancestral line, Lord, that's not a covenant with Jesus Christ, Lord, we just command that it be null and void, Lord. We break it in the Jesus Christ. We denounce every covenant. There's not a covenant with Jesus Christ. We ask the blood of Jesus to speak on her behalf, Lord. Speak on her behalf, Lord. Just command every foul, tormenting, demonic spirit to leave her body, leave her home, leave her bloodline, Lord. And we command them to never come back. And we command supernatural healing to enter her body, supernatural healing from the top of her head to for the soles of her feet. Let her be restored, Lord. Let her be restored, Lord. Take your hands off of her, Satan. You cannot have her. Hallelujah. Lottie, thank you, Lord. You are God's precious child. I believe that the demonic spirits were attacking you due to ancestral curses in your bloodline. Wow. Wow.
Yeah. It's horrible.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you,
my
Lord.
God. Hallelujah. I receive it in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, God.
Now, I believe that God is going to reveal to you how to continue to walk in deliverance.
Yes. Hallelujah.
And the Lord says to tell her that she is not to be ashamed anymore. She is not to be ashamed anymore. She is, you are the beloved daughter of Jesus Christ. You shall not hold your head in shame anymore, but you are to stand your head held high, knowing that God loves you, that you are his called and chosen one. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Lottie, you are a precious daughter of God, and you are my wonderful sister in Christ. I'm so thankful for your call today. I'm so thankful for your call. Is there anything else that we might pray or talk about?
I just thanking God for the prayers because he hit that right off. I had did so much to get that area of my life together, and then that just came in like a storm and messed with that, and it's just something that played, just worries me every day. I just wanted to be healed because I wanted to be able to, you know, what God said in his word that we're supposed to be able to, you know, conceive and do. And so that I'm just thanking God, and I thank you for praying for me because that was, you know, really important. And then I'm just praying for my family all together, just that great deliverance will come, you know, so that, you know, we can touch other people and that they can be helped as well. You know, just so that you won't leave the world without doing what God put you here to do, so to speak.
Amen. Shall we pray for your family?
Amen, yes.
Yes, let's do it. Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray for the family of Lottie in Houston, Texas. Lord, bless her family with love and togetherness, with finances. Lord, thank you that you're giving her this business that she will one day be the grandmother that passes it on. She will be the grandmother that passes it on to two generations. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, that she is a blessing to her family and her whole family is blessed. Let her family be on fire for Christ, Lord. Let her family together, working together in business, Lord. Let her family have wonderful vacation times together, Lord. Let them enjoy and making these TikTok videos together, Lord. Let them have awesome times of ministry, awesome times of family gatherings, and, Lord, let them all walk out your perfect plan for salvation. Let them all be participants in the first resurrection, with all of their feet rising up to meet Jesus Christ in the clouds. Lord, thank you. This is a family for Christ. As for me and my house, we shall serve. So we pray all these things in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And Lottie, I just call you Grandma. Hallelujah. So not only will you have children, but grandchildren too. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I receive it in Jesus' mighty name. Jesus' name. And I thank you so much, and God bless you in this ministry greatly.
Thank you, Lottie. I receive it. Please be with us again. God bless you.
Oh, God bless you as well. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. I receive it. Hallelujah. You know, friend and truth seeker, God is a God who hears our prayers. No problem is too big for God. No problem is too big for God. Hallelujah. So, again, we are in your time. It's your time for prayer, your time for questions about the book of Revelation, your time for comments. Do you have a prayer request? Would you call 1-319-527-6027 if you have a prayer request, or you have a comment about the book of Revelation or a question about the book of Revelation? During our live internet broadcast, you can call 1-319-527-6027. I don't want to end too early. I feel like I'm waiting on somebody to call me. It's 8:21. I feel like I'm waiting for somebody to call me. And I think you said, Lord, if she calls me out, then I'll call. Well, I'm calling you out. I'm calling you out. God, I'm waiting on person number three. I feel like I'm waiting for somebody to call me. And I think you are a male. I think you are a male. Your name might be John, J-O-N, J-O-N. So I just want to wait another minute or two to make sure that if you want prayer, if you want to pray, would you call 1-319-527-6027? I want to be obedient to the Lord, and I don't want to miss your call or my opportunity to pray with the truth seekers, those who want to hear from God, those who want to be blessed by God, those who say, Lord, I've got to hear from you. Lord, I need a word. Lord, do you see my pain? Do you have anything to say to me? Now, while I'm waiting, tonight is Thursday. On PGM, Pastor and Prophet Randy Chandler will be leading us in communion and, of course, prayer tonight. The phone number for tonight's program is 1-319-527-6737. 1-319-527-6737. If you want to participate in tonight's communion night and prayer for tonight, that phone number is 1-319-527-6737. And on the internet, blogtalkradio.com/2 and then witnesses, blogtalkradio.com/2 and then witnesses. Prophet and Pastor Randy Chandler will be on at 10 p.m. Eastern Time, that's 9 p.m. Central Time tonight, leading us in communion and also in prayer. So I encourage you, if you can, to be with us as we fellowship, hearing what God has to say, and we participate in communion and prayer. Well, we are coming to an end. I want to say thank you, thank you, thank you for being with me and with us. I never, ever take for granted your time. Thank you so much for being with me and with us. We're going to be back on Thursday, every Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern time, at 6 p.m. Texas time, and on Sundays at 7 p.m. Central time, 7 p.m. Eastern time, 6 p.m. Central time. Thank you so much for being with me and with us. Until next time, friend, if you haven't done so yet, I encourage you, according to Jeremiah 33:3, call out to God. He promises to show you great and mighty secrets that you do not know.